Good morning. It's wonderful to be with you again. Though space separates us to the human eye. We have on this new La Jolla tape an opportunity to carry on from the 13 meditations which we were instructed to do in the first tape called the Daily Rebirth. Your letters have shown me that this message was needed and that it has been rewarding for you to pursue these meditations, and that your progress has led to, in some cases, excellent healings, for which we are most grateful. I surely do appreciate those letters and hope they keep coming, as it gives us a weather vane about where you are going and why. Now, two things, or three perhaps, stand out in the letters and phone calls we have received. One is that we are now ready to accelerate, to deepen, to widen, to expand. Two is that here and there are mental barriers which, though the individual may be willing to accept spiritual identity, are still standing there as an obstruction, causing a divided consciousness. For example, you know that some of you have written that while you were doing the exercises, each one was deepening your consciousness, and some were easy to accept, even if you couldn't get the fullness of them. But then someone would say, but you know, when I came to that one about I am neither man or woman, oh, that really sent me to my concordance. I had to check that out in Genesis. I had to do that. I had to do this. I really couldn't accept it. Now that tells me something about the level of consciousness of that individual and the barrier that is there causing a sense of duality. And thirdly, and that is the purpose of this tape, some of you have said, you have given us so many wonderful lessons that I could keep studying them for a year or two and just dwell on that until it's mine. If you dwelt on those 13 spiritual meditations for a year or two, there's no question about what would happen to you. You would open up. But if you dwelt on them without adding new inspiration to them, you would simply make it a memory exercise. And you would wear deep ruts into your consciousness, and in these grooves you would try to live, not getting fresh manna. There is one word missing, even in the 13 lessons. And this is the time for it. That word is infinity. And the purpose of today's lesson is to learn how to abide in the truth that you are not only spirit, but infinite spirit. For example, I'm quite sure you would agree that your purpose on earth is to glorify God. Then you start out with that intention. All of religion thinks it is here to glorify God. Half the world is trying to glorify God. And while we are trying to, most of us who have not caught the spark of infinite spirit must inevitably fall by the wayside. Because to glorify God is another way of saying glorify infinite spirit. And if you're not thinking in terms of I am the infinite spirit, how do you glorify God? How can your life show forth the fruits of the infinite spirit if you have forgotten that that is your being? Of course, if you're a man or a woman, you're not infinite spirit, are you? And so how should a man and a woman show forth the fruits of infinite spirit? What's the difference if a man or a woman learns about the doctrines of any religion? If the religion is teaching about a God up there and a man and a woman down here, you know there's not a word of truth in it. And so today we must deepen and intensify in the direction of the acceptance that I am the infinite spirit. Daily resurrection, daily rebirth, to include I am the infinite spirit in your inner work so that it may manifest in your outer work. So let's begin now to clarify, see where we're going, to develop this new skill, this new kind of inner strength. And I think perhaps to explain it, we should look at a little infant. Here it is, all alone. It's in a little ark, floating down the river. The child is 3 months old. It has actually been placed in that ark by the parents. They have, of their own free will, placed the child they love in a little ark, and they have been perfectly willing to let that helpless 3-month child drift down outside of their own protection, not knowing if it would drown or not, how it would survive, how it would live, who would find it, where it would end up, completely letting go of a 3-month child and allowing it to float down the river in an ark. And the question is, what does that mean to us in the 20th century? We know that 19 centuries have gone by since the Christ walked this earth as Jesus. We know that 3,000 years went by before that, when a child went down the river. And we know that for 5,000 years there has been no value in this world from that event. And yet it contains a high truth. Superficially, we might say, oh, well, they're telling me that as a parent, I should not try to possess my children. I should let them go forth. I shouldn't obstruct them with personal views. I should free them, liberate them. And I say that would be superficial because it is not the full meaning. The little child going down the ark, down the river in the ark, is a symbol of you. not of your child, but of you yourself. It's a symbol of you setting forth in your new consciousness, letting go of all that you have known, letting go of your material concepts, letting go of the belief that you are finite, that you are a creature who lives by senses, that you are a man or a woman or even a child, letting go of all material sense. The little child is passing from that which is the finite world into the infinite, passing out of time into the timeless. This is the beginning of a Passover. When you are willing within yourself to float down the river, knowing that I am in the ark, I am in the body of spirit now, and I can trust that body of spirit now to be governed by infinite spiritual consciousness, which is ever present. I am not confined to material laws. I am not confined to the day-by-day struggle of this world. I am not confined and controlled by the false knowledge given to me by my own human senses. I am willing to go forth as a spiritual infant in total trust, needing no safety and protection other than my own knowledge that I am the infinite Spirit of God. This decision within yourself to go forth in the ark of spiritual identity, even though the senses tell you it cannot be done, sets into motion the cycle of transformation through which my own shall come to me. Out of the finite, out of time, out of matter, and none of it is an external event. It is Moses within you, as an infant going down the ark, down the water in the ark. It is your inner acceptance and your willingness to go forth. Even though all around you is a material world, you sail forth through it as if it were water. Your trust is in the invisible, infinite being which you are. Now that's only a beginning. This is only the infancy. And to further understand it, I think we should go back to a passage in Genesis, something so illuminating, and yet something which has remained completely obscure. It's in Genesis, second chapter. I think it's the 10th verse. Genesis 2:10. Here it is. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Now, I don't recall ever seeing any explanation of that anywhere. I've never heard one. It's just as if the words had never been put into the Bible, and yet right there is the crux of what you and I must learn fully if we are to come into that new level of consciousness called Christ consciousness or illumination. Four heads. This is really a message at this point about life and about death. The two heads represent the upper life stream, and the other two heads represent the lower life stream. The upper life stream is spirit. The lower life stream is matter. The upper life stream is the soul. The lower life stream is the mind. The upper life stream is your permanent self, your infinite self, your timeless, eternal self, your real now self. The one you are is the upper life stream. And the one you are not, the one in time, the one who is finite, the man or woman walking in sense of mortal flesh, is the lower life stream. The upper life stream is the positive life stream. The lower life stream is the counterfeit, the negative, the unreal. The upper life stream is your divine self. The lower life stream is your human, mortal sense of self. All death occurs in the negative or lower life stream, the counterfeit. Every disease on earth, every discord, every form of destruction, every disaster, every evil, every error, every problem occurs only in the lower lifespan, the lower life stream. In the upper life stream, it is impossible to die. It is impossible to be sick. Now we said there are four heads, two heads in each life stream. In the upper life stream, there is the infinite spirit, and that is one head. And it individualizes itself as you, your spiritual self, and that is the second head. Infinite spirit individualizing as yourself. These are the two heads, the Father and the Christ. That is your present self. Infinite Father, infinite Son, one self, one life stream. Ever one. And in the lower life stream, the two heads are the cosmic mind, the counterfeit mind, individualizing as your individual mind. So the cosmic mind, the world thought, the world mind becomes the individual mind, the individual thought. And these are the two heads of the lower life stream. And these are the four rivers. This is the Garden of Eden river that individualizes as four heads. One life stream is life itself, and the lower life stream is death itself. It is the counterfeit of life, the shadow. In this negative life stream lives the human race. We walk in it. We love in it. We smile in it. We laugh in it. And we also suffer in it. Struggle in it. Strive in it. And die in it. The entire Bible is dedicated to one mission, to awaken us to the death stream we have called life, that we may learn how to step out of it into life that is, from the negative to the positive, from the lower life stream to the higher life stream, from material sense to spiritual awareness. Moses is floating down the river. Passing over now from the lower life stream to the higher. In you, a will to pass from the lower to the higher and to act upon that will becomes in you, Moses floating down the river. Changing life streams. Not partially. Not a half change. Not matter becoming spirit. I have never been matter. I have never been man. I have never been woman. I have never been human flesh. That's the counterfeit life stream. And the awareness that you never have been is the beginning of wisdom. To emphasize this, if we are to continue in Genesis 10 for a moment, just a little further down, the 11th verse, the name of the first head is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. The gold of that land, the gold of the higher consciousness, is good. As later, in the revelation of St. John, we are told to find that gold which has been tried in the fire. The gold of the higher life stream. For only in the higher life stream are we in life itself. I am the life. I am the higher life stream. The lower does not even exist. The counterfeit never exists, it only seems to. One of the most unfortunate tragedies in our modern world is that many sincere people, good, hard-working, dedicated people, with the best of intentions, are pouring out their human lives in the counterfeit life stream. They work hard. They work even nobly on a human level. They give all they've got to be great, to be successful, to fulfill their civic responsibilities. They overcome many human hardships. They have these fine qualities that we all admire. And all of this is being poured into the life stream that is really a death stream. For instance, suppose you are a very ambitious man. Suppose you are a very ambitious woman, and you're building your career. And for some reason or other, you have the feeling that as high as you climb, there's never a top. You're never quite arriving where you want to go. And then as the years go by, it dawns upon you that you really haven't gone anywhere. You've just been pushing harder and harder. And you look back and you see that all you have really accomplished is to make yourself a human being with a certain status in your community. But somewhere along the way, you have not found the you that is forever. That's the time to say, why am I constantly falling into this false sense of self which must strive and struggle? And the inevitable answer will follow if you are willing to face it. Namely, you may have accepted yourself as spirit part-time, or you may have accepted yourself as spirit and yet you have dwelt in the consciousness of being finite, and there is no finite spirit. And finally, it should come to you that your struggling and striving is evidence that you do not have the willingness to accept that you are infinite spirit. And the struggling will continue until you do. I hope that point is clear, because all of us stand or fall depending on whether we go all the way into the acceptance, not that I am spirit and matter, not that I am spirit and finite, but I am infinite spirit, meaning I am the only being there is. There is no other. And I can depend on this infinite spirit that I am to fulfill all of what I have called my human responsibility. I'm willing now to float down the river. Let's follow this infant. Let's see what happens when the commitment is made. It has not generally been realized that Exodus, the entire book of Exodus, is about our leaving the finite to accept the infinite. We see it all stretched out as 40 years in the wilderness, but it's really a visible demonstration of our change of consciousness. The groping at first, the struggling at first, until we are even willing to accept the first glimmer of truth that I truly am not a finite being, but I am an infinite spirit. I am the being. That is what Exodus is all about. Exodus from the false life stream. And Moses himself is a visible demonstration of that exodus, beginning with the floating down the river. The function of Moses, you see, was to prepare the way for Christ consciousness by purifying the human consciousness, by awakening man to who he is, by introducing mankind to the deceptions of the human mind, so that man could open up and make way for the pure life stream of Christ. And so you see, Moses, the very outer demonstration had to be a demonstration of the principles of purification. And that's why, like Jesus, his life was supernatural. It was a visible demonstration of what you and I and everyone must go through within ourselves. From birth to transition, these supernatural events came forth where Moses appeared. All forerunners of your own inner experience. It is said that his mother bore him without pain. It is said that the moment of his birth, the house was aglow with an iridescence as if lit by both the sun and the moon. And that was Spirit's way of calling attention to the invisible presence of infinite Christ. And then again, like Jesus, the Bible tells us that the birth of Moses caused fear among the Hebrews. It also caused fear among the rulers of that era. The word went out from a prophecy made by a scribe that a child was being born who someday would free the Hebrews from the Pharaoh's clutch. And of course, the parents of Moses, seeing the great beauty of their child, felt that if the eyes of Egyptians were to gaze upon this child, they would surely feel that this was the child destined to overthrow Egypt, and it would be killed instantly. You can see through the outer words that this is what happens when you come into your early Christ awareness. You must be protected, just as Jesus had to be taken away from Herod to prevent his death in this early state of consciousness. The word had gone out that every boy had to be killed. Only daughters could be kept alive. And so Amram, the father, made the decision to build the ark of bulrushes. And for protection, they caked it with slime and mud. And then, trusting God's protection alone, they let it float down the river. Now, there's something not in our Bible which was given to us by the historian Josephus, the first century historian, who wrote in Hebrew. We know from our Bible that at the other end there was a royal princess who saw the babe come floating down the river in the ark. She was overcome by its beauty, fell in love with it, and she it was who named it Moses. The moment water in the Euphrates meant that which is lifted out of water. And so she called it Moses because she had lifted it out of the water. You see, he made the first step. The first step you make within yourself is to be willing to change life streams. And as you float down the river in the infant stage of the new life stream, the royal princess takes you out of the old life stream, lifts you out of the water. Now here's where Josephus adds something to our understanding of the Bible. You may remember, it very briefly is alluded to that Miriam, although the name isn't used, a maid it is said, who was the sister of Moses, was in the vicinity where the Egyptian princess found a baby. And she asked this maid, not knowing it was the sister of Moses, to find someone to nurse the child. Josephus amplifies that. He's true to the Bible facts, but amplifies them and gives us a lesson, even though he doesn't know he's giving us a lesson. For Josephus was not a spiritual man at all. He was a precise historian. Some say not too precise at that. But he did say this. He said that when the princess found the child, she decided she wanted the child to be breastfed. And so she got an Egyptian woman to nurse the child, but the child refused. The child turned away. And so she got another Egyptian woman, and a second and a third and a fourth, And every time, the child refused to be nursed by an Egyptian woman. It was then that Miriam, the sister of Moses, who was unknown to the Egyptians, came upon the scene, somehow worked her way into a confidential relationship with the princess, and suggested, well, perhaps this child would prefer to be nursed by a Hebrew woman. And the princess, having tried Egyptian women, decided this would be a fine idea, and then assigned Miriam, not knowing it was Moses' sister, to find such a woman. She said, "You have my authority to find a nurse, to nurse this child." And what did Miriam do? She brought the child to the child's own mother. And so Moses was actually nursed by his own mother. Now, if not for Josephus amplifying the Bible, we would not understand the great symbolism of this event. Moses refused to be fed by anything but his own source. Moses wanted to be one with his source. As you start down the away from the old life stream toward the new, learning your infinite spiritual identity, you must live within your own source. You must not go outside of your being. You must stay in oneness with your source. And this is a glorious, very beautiful outer demonstration of the necessity of resting in the Word, to be fed only by the inner spirit. In other words, trust the inner spirit, and only the inner spirit. Turn from the Egyptian woman. Your mother is the infinite spirit of God. It must feed you. And if it is not feeding you, you are still in the false life stream, no matter what words you put in your mouth. Isn't that beautiful there? Now let's see. You have come to know that you are infinite spirit. You have come to trust your infinite spirit. And now you're willing to take a look at your human surroundings and say, "I cannot live in this division anymore." But let's take a great big jump. One of the biggest that you may ever take. In infinite spirit, there are no problems. There are no struggles. There are no lacks. There are no limitations right now. And therefore, what you are looking at as a lack or a limitation or a struggle for survival is not there. Infinite spirit is there. And the only way you can experience the abundance, the harmony, the fullness of that infinite spirit is to be it, to accept it here and now. In other words, touch the Christ. For when you touch the Christ, all that outside it seemed to be struggle, discord, pressure, disturbances, a parade of meaningless human events is suddenly touched with the wand of spirit, and lo, it was never there. You were simply in the wrong life stream. You were in the counterfeit life stream where these things happen, not in the pure life stream where it is seen and experienced that these things never happened except in that consciousness which is the pure, the impure, negative counterfeit. Get out of the false life stream, and lo, I make all things new. Now the wheel is in motion. The child has been lifted out of the ocean, out of the false life stream. The inner self is expanding. The initiation of the water is followed by the initiation of fire. Every time you reach another level within, it's called an initiation. Now let us stand in the knowledge that life is self-complete. It isn't a future event. It isn't going to happen in tomorrow. It is self-complete here and now. All that I have been trying to do in the false life stream of time is already self-complete here and now. And I want to stand here and now in the true life stream. I want to learn what the true life stream really is. And so now as I stand in this life stream, accepting it as present, I want to do something very strange. Every thought that comes into my mind that is of a material thing must be a lie. There are no material things in the present reality of my spirit. Matter does not exist in my spirit. And so if I have a vision in my mind at the moment of a task that must be done in the human area, I cannot accept it as a reality. I have no human task to perform. I am standing at the moment in pure spirit. There are no human tasks here that must be performed. I don't have a human job. I don't have a human office. I have nothing human in my life stream. It isn't there. And on this I stand at the moment. I have no assignments that are unfulfilled. I have no schedule. I have no human responsibilities. I cannot be lifted out of the false life stream if I cling to these human responsibilities, these human assignments, this human schedule. And in this meditation, I am standing in the only life stream that is here. And my method is to exclude, to reject every thought that comes to me of a material nature. I have to write checks. No, there are no material checks in my life stream. I have to go to the store. No, there is no store. I have to pay my bills. No, there are no bills. I have a desk full of unfinished work. No, I have no desk. I have no work. Every material thought is rejected. There is no matter in my life stream. There is no matter in my consciousness. This is the meditation which is faithful to the fact that all there is my infinite spirit. I dwell here. I make this meditation a 5-minute period. A 10-minute period. And if I feel the strength of it, the truth of it, the depth of it, I stay there. All that is material that comes to mind is rejected, without exception, until I have a pure consciousness, a pure life stream accepted, and I simply dwell there. I abide in the pure life stream. Thoughts will try to sneak in. That is world thought trying to enter your pure life stream. And if you will follow the message of truth, you will stand there and reject all impure, all material thought. Now, will you make that an exercise this week? I'm not asking you to do it while you're at the office, while you're in the home. I'm asking you to make it a spiritual exercise first. What you do later will come of its own accord later. Now, as you do this, as material thoughts are excluded, you may not feel a great spiritual inspiration, and you may, but if you do not, it will not matter. You're going to do the exercise again the next day for 5 days. Only once a day for 5 days. Until you kind of feel the strength of it. The ability, wherever you are, to just stop for a moment and recognize that you have been living in two life streams, talking about spirit, but living in the material. And when you become aware of that, stop for a moment wherever you are and take those 5 minutes, even if it's not on your schedule to meditate at that time. And simply stop and sit where you are and dwell upon thought. Oh, wait a minute. How could this heart be hurting me? A heart is a material thing. There is no material thing in the pure life stream. Isn't that a sign that I have fallen back into the false life stream? Now then, rest in the word that there is no material thing. That's all this meditation is about. We don't need any further explanations. We don't have to analyze. We simply reject every thought of a material thing. We keep the inner vacuum pure of material thought. And as you do this, you are really learning what it is to have a Christ consciousness, a Jesus consciousness, a Moses consciousness. No material thought. Suddenly it's very clear to you who your real enemy is. Material thought. You believe there is matter. That has been your only enemy. And why do you believe there is matter? Because you do not control your thought. World thought coming through you as material thought has controlled your actions. World thought is your own material thought. The impure world life stream forces its way through every human mind as impure thought about matter. And the poor man, the poor woman, the poor human race, not knowing that world thought impersonalizing or personalizing itself within him, within her, as material thought, is the only enemy we have. It is recreating that which does not exist. It's putting the desk in your office. It's putting the fountain pen in your pocket. It's putting the money in your wallet. It's putting the throb in your heart. It's putting the pain in your spine. It's removing your 20/20 vision. World thought in you about material things is the only devil there ever was. And it is a 24-hour devil. It is not the gold of the higher life stream. It is not the light. It is the darkness. And from this darkness, we don't have to go through centuries of study to progress toward the light. Turn on the light now. There is no matter. There is no darkness. There is no world thought. This is the counterfeit life stream. The two lower heads. And a human you is one of those lower heads, and the world mind is the other one of those lower heads. And you have been hypnotized into building a material environment where there is only a spiritual environment. This exercise will help you, for short periods of time, maintain the integrity of your consciousness. The pure life stream will replace the impure. The infinite will replace the finite. The eternal will replace the false sense of time. I can assure you that this was the inner consciousness of Moses, not just for 5 minutes a day. That it was the inner consciousness of Jesus all day. No material thought. And if you work to master that, you will find that no matter what comes into your mind, if it is matter, it must be finite. And if it is matter, it must be unreal. And if it is matter, it must die. It must perish. It must disintegrate. And if it is matter, it must be controlled. Whenever you let material thought go by, accepting it, consciously or unconsciously, you are in the prison of the world mind. And it will keep you slaving at that desk. It'll keep you running through a busy schedule thinking you're getting somewhere. And at the end, it will push you off a cliff. The burning bush was not made of flames, but of light. The inner light of your own being begins to replace the darkness of the world of life stream. And you are initiated into the inner light. But because you have purified the consciousness of world thought, and that is the exercise of rejecting matter every time it comes to world thought. First in these 5 minute periods. Getting used to it. You try it for a day or two or three, and before you know it, you've forgotten about it. You're back in the old grind. So don't let yourself fall into that trap. Stay with it a while. Give it the 5 days. And every now and then, surprise yourself. Just stop. Outside of your schedule of 5 days, 5 minutes a day. Just stop. Go into that vacuum of no thought about anything material. It's very purifying. Suppose we take a little breather now. And before you turn over this tape to the next side, in between this, make a sort of resolution to yourself. If you're listening with a group, two or three people, discuss this matter of rejecting material thought. discuss it together so you understand it. Really talk about it. And if you're alone when you're hearing this, sit there before you turn the tape over and be sure you know what it means. So that if a thought comes to you about another person, that matter, you must know there is no other person. What you're going to have for dinner is matter, and there is no dinner. We're not going to try to be spirit and also live in a different substance. We're learning to be true to the immaterial universe. And when you have decided you're going to do that, you might do it right now before you even turn over the tape. So you get the feeling of what it really means. Do you see, the moment matter is not in your thought, there is no finite thought. There is no finite barrier. And that is when the infinite life stream comes through. When you think not, the infinite life stream comes through. We'll be back in a moment.